Welcome to the Floor Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday the 13th of June, recording at 9:44 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. And in terms of stock markets, it's much the same, barely steady to a little bit easier. And Asia was mixed in that outlook, with small gains in China-related equities. Indonesia down a little bit more sharply than we've seen. It had been incredibly quiet in a trading range, but it's eroded a minor initial support level. In the European stock markets, again, very quiet, mixed, but let's see. Well, the biggest move overall was Switzerland. That's down 1.18%. The other percentage changes were much smaller. In the Americas, Brazil down 1%. Canada down 1%. Wall Street, the Dow and the S&P just managed to close fractionally to the upside, a little bit down, tiny bit down on the NASDAQ. Long-dated government bond prices, they weakened a little bit. The U.S. dollar weakened a little bit. It had rallied for part of last week, or the latter part of last week. And commodities is where the main action occurred. We've had a weaker tone generally, fairly pronounced in the precious metals. We've had some downward dynamics in here today. For all the precious metals, we're down almost 23 on palladium. It brings it back below the 800 level to 794. Silver down a dollar and a half to 34.79. Gold quieter, but down over 15 to 15.16 as I speak. And did I mention platinum? I don't think so. That down 35, over $35 to back below the 1800 level, brought it down to 1797.70. And crude oil, well, this is bizarre here because we've got the WTI, that's an NYMEX U.S. contract, that's down 238. That's good news. That's down to 96.91. But the IPE Brent contract, which is more important, is up at 118.60, I believe that was. So barely change. We're only down very slightly. Industrial metals were all a little bit lower. Okay, and grains and beans, they seesawed a little bit, but ended with small declines. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, in terms of stock markets, it's still quite a weak tone. The markets are still digesting this global GDP growth slowdown, and they have among their concerns, the monetary tightening policies to curb inflation that we had seen in the growth economies, to the shrinkage of modest growth in the West and also Japan, down to levels that are not quite double dip, but close enough for people to be talking about double dip in terms of recessionary terms. So slow growth there, and it's not. And then of course Europe also has the problems of the periphery countries, I should say. What are they going to do with Greece's debt? That one rumbles on, and evidently there's going to be some big confab among ministers tomorrow. But it's not a healthy situation, needless to say. So where do we go from here? Well, technically, we have seen nothing but deterioration among stock markets. So where we had broad ranges largely in force, markets are on the lower side of those ranges or have actually broken down. We've seen plenty of mean reversion and then some. And we have short-term downward trends established in many for many markets. And the best of the holdouts, the ASEAN sector, combining both Asian growth and a lot of commodity exports for the bigger population countries in that region, such as Indonesia, Malaysia, Thailand, and the Philippines. They had been doing exceptionally well, as had Singapore, but all have weakened recently. And they still show overall relative strength, but they're unable to push ahead and are, as I've said, just are somewhat weaker in here. We do see evidence of capitulation selling in an increase in the number of downward dynamics, in the persistence of the decline in banking shares in the West and in Japan, and also the firmness of some of the defensive categories and the weakness in some highly volatile interesting but well, volatile sectors such as rare earths. A number of those have come off quite sharply here recently. So we're definitely seeing some capitulation selling. Now, Owens and my script on this for some time has been that we would see mean reversion at best. That was the best case scenario. And it looks like we're going further than that. You can, if you want one single culprit for all this, take crude oil, particularly that Brent price. But we also had plenty of other commodity price inflation and the food scares. So this is all weighing on stock markets, and it isn't going to be until some of these countries, probably and preferably led by Asia, say, well, enough is enough. Our growth has slowed somewhat, our inflation has slowed somewhat, and we're relaxing our stance. Now, when that happens, I think markets will be doing very well, and they'll probably start to anticipate it at some point. But I don't think it'll be this week, and I don't think it'll be this month, and I think we're still going to be buffeted with this corrective phase here for a little while longer. Having mentioned my best case scenario, which is mean reversion for some of the stronger stock markets, what's the worst case scenario? And that is we get what is a small statistical bear market. And that, I think, is what we will see for some stock markets, and others will hold up better. The silver lining in all this is, which is a process of profit erosion, for those of you who have significant equity portfolios. But the silver lining in all this is that it will create some better valuations and an economic climate where the emphasis shifts away from fighting inflation to stimulating growth once again. But will we see that before the fourth quarter of this year? We'll have to see. I'd settle for the fourth quarter. That would be good news. Now, what about long-dated government bond prices? Well, I said on Friday that I felt that they had not priced in any risk to the upside in terms of yields, and that some of these bond markets are discounting a type of disinflationary or deflationary environment that we are probably not actually going to see. And I think the longer term risks are more inflationary than deflationary, but The inflation that I've been talking about for over a decade is commodity price inflation, which can subside quite sharply during growth slowdowns, let alone recession periods. And hopefully it is in the process of slowing down. I believe it is. But we want to see a significant slowdown, including bringing that oil price back down. Now, therefore, going back to bonds, I think that these long-dated government yields, which have benefited from QE2, they've benefited from a little bit of trend momentum recently, they've benefited from the in the US from banks capitalizing, recapitalizing themselves via the yield curve. It's a dangerous game at this stage of the cycle, or perhaps not if they're keeping a close eye on the charts, which I suspect they are. In other words, these banks, these commercial banks, can borrow from the Fed window at just a little above zero interest rates, very modest interest rates, and they can leverage that up in long-dated government bond futures or shorter-dated ones if they wish to. But they get huge leverage if they go into the long-dated government bond prices, because they pick up that yield, which is over 4% on the 30-year bond, having paid almost nothing for the money. Now, that's a great trade, provided the price trend is in your favor, and they will all be watching charts of that. And if you look at charts of the U.S. 30-year bond or the U.S. 10-year bond, you will notice that it's had a terrific 2 to 3 months in here. Sort of 2 to 2.5 months, and but has shown evidence of a loss of upside momentum recently. Now, I suspect that as and when that chart deteriorates, breaks down, breaks the rising lows, for instance, loses its uptrend consistency, that's already started with a loss of momentum. But when that becomes more apparent, let alone the establishment of a downward trend for some of those contracts, that I think a lot of banks will be chopping leveraged positions for at least the short term. So don't be surprised if this bond market, which has risen like Lazarus, falls back fairly sharply. What else to mention in here? Precious metals. Now, I did mention that while they're very likely to resume their overall upward trends. Well, some of them will. I don't expect silver to resume its overall upward trend this year, but I wouldn't be at all surprised if it isn't higher above today's level at 3476 by year end. And I wouldn't be surprised if gold, platinum, and palladium are all at new highs for the year by late December. But this is an period of underperformance right now, and seasonally a period of underperformance. So I think we're still in a consolidation phase, and I have made the point that if stock markets were sufficiently weak, that capitulation selling would spill over into precious metals. We've seen it before. It's very predictable, and we've seen a little bit of that today. So how bad does it get? Well, it's a response to what we're seeing elsewhere. So if stock markets were to fall back fairly sharply, then it would be a little bit bigger. If they don't fall back very much, then precious metals will remain relatively steady. But I noticed that I'm just putting up the Gold Bugs Index here, and I noticed that it's now pulled beneath its May reaction low and also its March reaction low to test the January reaction low. And it looks toppy, as so many stock market indices do, and it has broken below its rising 200-day moving average. So I think that will unsettle the troops, particularly those in precious metals who have leveraged positions. And don't be surprised, again, and say if we see these things ranging sideways at best and perhaps a little bit lower until we get into that more favorable seasonal period, sort of towards late August, September. And I expect and hope to be much more interested in and much, well, I'm always interested in them, but I expect to be much more active in precious metals at that time, and I'm not doing anything in them right now. And bottom line here on the commodities, we're getting a pullback, but it's not as much as I'd like to see, and it might require further stock market weakness to bring that down. So expect these commodity and stock markets to weaken a bit further. That will make people no more nervous. They will start to, and more fearful, they will start to extrapolate bad news stories. Use that as a contrary indicator. That'll be an indication that we're getting closer to the next good buying opportunity. But we're going to have to be patient here in the short term. And on that note, all the very best to all of you.